The next LOS is to describe how legal, regulatory, and tax considerations affect the issuance and trading of fixed income securities. Bonds are subject to different legal and regulatory requirements depending on where they are issued and traded. Bonds issued by a firm domiciled in a country and also traded in that country's currency are referred to as domestic bonds. Bonds issued by a firm incorporated in a foreign country that trade on the national bond market of another country in that country's currency are referred to as foreign bonds. Examples include bonds issued by foreign firms that trade in China and are denominated in yuan, which are called panda bonds, and bonds issued by firms incorporated outside the United States that trade in the United States and are denominated in U.S. dollars, which are called Yankee bonds. Euro bonds are issued outside the jurisdiction of any one country and denominated in a currency different from the currency of the countries in which they are sold. They are subject to less regulation than domestic bonds in most jurisdictions and were initially introduced to avoid U.S. regulations. Euro bonds should not be confused with bonds denominated in euros or thought to originate in Europe, although they can be both. Euro bonds got the euro name because they were first introduced in Europe, and most are still traded by firms in European capitals. A bond issued by a Chinese firm that is denominated in yen and traded in markets outside Japan would fit the definition of a euro bond. Eurobonds that trade in the national bond market of a country other than the country that issues the currency the bond is denominated in, and in the eurobond market, are referred to as global bonds. Eurobonds are referred to by the currency they are denominated in. Eurobonds are referred to by the currency in which they are denominated. Eurodollar bonds are denominated in U.S. dollars, and euro-yen bonds are denominated in yen. The majority of euro bonds are issued in bearer form. Ownership of bearer bonds is evidenced simply by possessing the bonds, whereas ownership of registered bonds is recorded. Bearer bonds may be more attractive than registered bonds to those seeking to avoid taxes. Other legal and regulatory issues addressed in a trust deed include legal information about the entity issuing the bond, any collateral pledge to support repayment of the bond, any credit enhancements or additional features that increase the probability of repayment, and covenants describing any actions the firm must take and any actions the firm is prohibited from taking. Bonds are issued by several types of legal entities, and bondholders must be aware of which entity has actually promised to make the interest and principal payments. Sovereign bonds are most often issued by the treasury of the issuing country. Corporate bonds may be issued by a well-known corporation, such as Microsoft, by a subsidiary of a company, or by a holding company that is the overall owner of several operating companies. Bondholders must pay attention to the specific entity issuing the bonds because the credit quality can differ among related entities. Sometimes, an entity is created solely for the purpose of owning specific assets and issuing bonds to provide the funds to purchase the assets. These entities are referred to as Special Purpose Entities, or SPEs, in the United States, and Special Purpose Vehicles, or SPVs, in Europe. Bonds issued by these entities are called securitized bonds. As an example, a firm could sell loans it has made to customers to an SPE that issues bonds to purchase the loans. The interest and principal payments on the loans are then used to make the interest and principal payments on the bonds. Often, an SPE can issue bonds at a lower interest rate than bonds issued by the originating corporation. This is because the assets supporting the bonds are owned by the SPE and are used to make the payments to holders of the securitized bonds, even if the company itself runs into financial trouble. For this reason, SPEs are called bankruptcy remote vehicles or entities. Sovereign bonds are typically repaid by the tax receipts of the issuing country. Bonds issued by non-sovereign government entities are repaid by either general taxes, revenues of a specific project, such as an airport, or by special taxes or fees dedicated to bond repayment, for example, a water district or sewer district. Corporate bonds are generally repaid from cash generated by the firm's operations. As noted previously, securitized bonds are repaid from the cash flows of the financial assets owned by the SPE. Unsecured bonds represent a claim to the overall assets and cash flows of the issuer. Secured bonds are backed by a claim to specific assets of a corporation, which reduces their risk of default and, consequently, the yield that investors require on the bonds. Assets pledged to support a bond issue or any loan are referred to as collateral. Because they are backed by collateral, secured bonds are senior to unsecured bonds. Among unsecured bonds, two different issues may have different priority in the event of bankruptcy or liquidation of the issuing entity. The claim of senior unsecured debt is below that of a secured debt, but above subordinated or junior debt. Sometimes secured debt is referred to by the type of collateral pledged. Equipment trust certificates are debt securities backed by equipment such as railroad cars and oil drilling rigs. Collateral trust bonds are backed by financial assets such as stocks or other bonds. Be aware that while the term debentures refers to unsecured debt in the United States and elsewhere, in Great Britain and some other countries, the term refers to bonds collateralized by specific assets. The most common type of securitized bond is a mortgage-backed security, or MBS. The underlying assets are a pool of mortgages, and the interest and principal payments from the mortgages are used to pay the interest and principal on the MBS. In some countries, especially European countries, financial companies issue covered bonds. Covered bonds are similar to asset-backed securities, but the underlying assets in the cover pool, although segregated, remain on the balance sheet of the issuing corporation, and no SPE is created. Special legislation protects the assets in the cover pool in the event of firm insolvency, which is to say they are bankruptcy remote. In contrast to an SPE structure, covered bonds also provide recourse to the issuing firm that must replace or augment non-performing assets in the cover pool, so that it always provides for the payment of the covered bond's promised interest and principal payments. Credit enhancement can be either internal, built into the structure of a bond issue, or external, provided by a third party. One method of internal credit enhancement is over-collateralization, in which the collateral pledged has a value greater than the par value of the debt issued. One limitation of this method of credit enhancement is that the additional collateral is also the underlying assets, so when asset defaults are high, the value of the excess collateral declines in value. Two other methods of internal credit enhancement are a cash reserve fund and an excess spread account. A cash reserve fund is cash set aside to make up for credit losses on the underlying assets. With an excess spread account, the yield promised on the bonds issued is less than the promised yield on the assets supporting the ABS. This gives some protection if the yield on the financial assets is less than anticipated. If the assets perform as anticipated, the excess cash flow from the collateral can be used to retire or pay off the principal on some of the outstanding bonds. Another method of internal credit enhancement is to divide a bond issue into tranches, which is French for slices, with different seniority of claims. Any losses due to poor performance of the assets supporting a securitized bond are first absorbed by the bonds with the lowest seniority, then the bonds with the next lowest priority of claims. The most senior tranches in this structure can receive very high credit ratings because the probability is very low that losses will be so large that they cannot be absorbed by the subordinated tranches. The subordinated tranches must have higher yields to compensate investors for the additional risk of default. This is sometimes referred to as waterfall structure because available funds first go to the most senior tranche of bonds, then to the next highest priority bonds, and so forth. External credit enhancements include surety bonds, bank guarantees, and letters of credit from financial institutions. Surety bonds are issued by insurance companies and are a promise to make up any shortfall in the cash available to service the debt. Bank guarantees serve the same function. A letter of credit is a promise to lend money to the issuing entity if it does not have enough cash to make the promised payments on the covered debt. While all three of these external credit enhancements increase the credit quality of debt issues and decrease their yields, deterioration of the credit quality of the guarantor will also reduce the credit quality of the covered issue. Most often, the interest income paid to bondholders is taxed as ordinary income at the same rate as wage and salary income. The interest income from bonds issued by municipal governments in the United States, however, is most often exempt from national income tax, and often from any state income tax in the state of issue. When a bondholder sells a coupon bond prior to maturity, it may be at a gain or a loss relative to its purchase price. Such gains and losses are considered capital gains income rather than ordinary taxable income. Capital gains are often taxed at a lower rate than ordinary income. Capital gains on the sale of an asset that has been owned for more than some minimum amount of time may be classified as long-term capital gains and taxed at an even lower rate. Pure discount bonds and other bonds sold at significant discounts to par when issued are termed original issue discount or OID bonds. Because the gains over an OID bond's tenor as the price moves toward par value are really interest income, these bonds can generate a tax liability even when no cash interest payment has been made. In many tax jurisdictions, a portion of the discount from par at issuance is treated as taxable interest income each year. This tax treatment also allows that the tax basis of the OID bonds is increased each year by the amount of interest income recognized, so there is no additional capital gains tax liability at maturity. Some tax jurisdictions provide a symmetric treatment for bonds issued at a premium to par, allowing part of the premium to be used to reduce the taxable portion of coupon interest payments.